football on off the ball.
Several mitigating factors. I think his exit was a little undignified, but I think he's entitled to have an element of dignity because he did win him a league title. And Jurgen Klopp only won them one of those.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The news round on Off the Ball. This is News Talk.
Good evening and welcome along to Tuesday night's Off the Ball. It is a big one this evening because the Republic of Ireland women's national team could qualify for next year's World Cup in Brazil. They're up against France this evening in Grenoble in the final match of the league stage of the European qualifiers. Currently, France are in top place on 10 points. Ireland are in second on 9 points. So a draw will be enough for France. But if there is a winner tonight, that team goes to Brazil. Kickoff at Parc des Princes is at 8 p.m. And also this hour, we're going to be getting Sinn Féin TD Joanna Byrne into studio to talk about the Stop the Game motion that's going to the floor of the Dáil this evening. It is Owen here in studio with you till 10 o'clock. Tonight, our number is 087-9180-180 and you can get us on WhatsApp. Eve Conway will be bringing you the news round very shortly. Eve, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm actually excited for tonight. Not as nervous, maybe, as I was anticipating.
Yeah, pressure is a privilege and all that. Arthur Adee, how are you feeling?
Flying. How are you?
Very well. Our commentary team tonight is Stephen Doyle and Kira Grant, by the way, and we're hoping for a little bit of the same from Friday.
It's given away to Ruiz Littlejohn. She's threaded one through here for Abby Larkin. Larkin to Caruso. Caruso hits the shot.
Yeah!
It's a goal for Ireland! It's a sensational goal from the Republic of Ireland. As Ireland can be attacks the ball into the box.
Yeah!
Abby Larkin has scored for the Republic of Ireland.
It is.
They have hit back straight away. That is sensational. Kiernan there now puts in a cross towards the back post. It's headed away. Picked up by Marissa Sheeve inside the Dutch box still.
Flick it.
Yeah! It's a goal for Ireland. And it's scored by Amber Moritz. They score a winner lead on, have they? It's 3-2.
Yes, so from the south of the Republic of Ireland to the south of France is where we move over the past couple of days. Grenoble, the Parc des Alpes, is where all attention rests this evening. As I say, Steve was going to be calling it and we're going to hear from him in just a moment. But there are two changes I can tell you about to the Republic of Ireland team from Páirc Caoimh. Emily Murphy is back. She comes straight back into the team. Abby Larkin is who she replaces. Denise O'Sullivan also back. And no surprise that she comes straight back into the team as well. Ruaisha Littlejohn is the player that misses out. So the starting 11 is Courtney Brosson in goal. It's Mannion, Hayes, Patton, Mustaki and Katie McCabe. In midfield, it's Marissa Sheva, Denise O'Sullivan and Megan Connolly. And then it's Murphy and Caruso up top. Let's hear from the Republic of Ireland manager Carla Ward in conversation with Stephen Doyle.
How are you feeling right now, right ahead of kickoff of this very important game?
Yeah, look, really calm. Calm and focused. I think it's important that we've, you know, made sure that the environment stays calm, and like I said, it's a no pressure game, but one that, you know, is a huge opportunity for us. And look, this group is together. We're like a family, and one thing we've got to go out there tonight and do is look after each other and embrace playing against the very, very best in the world.
You made the two changes I think everybody expected. Denise O'Sullivan to come back in, Emily Murphy against Abby Larkin might have been a tougher decision. Why did you come to those decisions in the end?
Yeah, look, I think Denise is arguably one of, you know, Ireland's greatest ever players, and she just adds so much, you know, in terms of an engine room in the middle of the park. She's quality on the ball, off the ball. She's an absolute joy to work with, and, you know, when she ticks, this team ticks. And then Murph, look, Murph's done so well for us, as has Abby Larkin and Kira. And you know what, all six forwards, they've all got on the pitch at some point in this campaign and all done tremendously well. So Abby did brilliantly the other night and we reminded her of that. But she'll have a big part to play tonight. So doesn't matter who starts, who finishes, everyone's going to play their part.
You got an early goal in Tala against the French. It maybe didn't suit Ireland because it was back to the wall, almost coming towards the end. Look, you'll take a goal any time, but is the important thing just to keep it tight, I suppose, in the first half?
Yeah, absolutely. I think ultimately, you know, it doesn't matter if we've got the ball or without the ball, we have to control our spaces. That's going to be really critical against this France side. They've got, you know, a lot of rotations. They'll want to pull us about. So we've got to make sure we stay in, stay tight, stay compact, stay really disciplined, and, you know, try and nullify them as much as we can. And then when we get our opportunities, we have to take them.
Carla, thanks for your time. Best of luck tonight.
Thank you. Cheers.
Carla Ward in conversation with Stephen Doyle there, and we'll hear from Steve-O before 8 o'clock and before kickoff. I'm not sure how you guys feel, but it just really does have the air of something that has beautifully crept up on us, that we had these expectations around this group. We knew exactly how Ligue 1 went last time, a couple of creditable performances, not least against France in Parc des Princes, but we had our expectations reasonably placed, I would say, where finishing second or finishing third would be a decent outcome here. But still being in the mix for top spot come the final day of the group, I don't think anybody expected this.
No. I think that's why I'm excited about it. I mean, obviously there's an element of nerves going into a match that has so much like on the line, really, even though, you know, it's not like we're not going to qualify if we don't lose this, but automatic qualification is just such a, it's a magic string of words, isn't it?
Never been said about an Ireland team. We have qualified for 4 World Cups ever. Italia 90, Spain topped the group. USA 1994, Spain topped the group. 2002, Portugal topped the group. 2023, Sweden topped the group. Ireland have never topped the group for a World Cup. So if they win tonight, this will be the first time it ever happens. The World Cup is the biggest thing. This would be the biggest qualification moment in the history of Irish sport. And I just didn't think it was possible a week ago. It has just come completely out of the blue. For anybody who maybe is coming to this whole thing late, an explainer on the format here, it's not a million miles different from the ill-fated European qualification campaign or the Euro qualification campaign of last year. So in an overall sense, the Dutch are still very much in the hunt. They're at home to Poland tonight, who are, of course, guaranteed to finish bottom. So they are 2 points and 4 goals worse off than the French. So they can actually still top the group as well if France draw and Netherlands hammer Poland. And they can finish second if they get a better result tonight than Ireland. Now, the difference between second and third in terms of practical benefits and all that is actually negligible with regards to the playoff. So Ireland and the fact that they cannot finish bottom now is huge. So they're in Ligue 1 at the moment, as you know. If they weren't to win tonight, they go into the playoffs. And the situation here is that the second and third place teams in Ligue 1 are going to be seeded. And then they're going to be drawn against the top 8 teams in Ligue C. And this will happen over 2 legs. And Ireland would have the second leg at home. They win that. If they win that, they'd be in a playoff final. And this final would also be over 2 legs. But Ireland would have home advantage in the second leg once again. But the team they'd play in this playoff final would be much better. It'd be all League B teams or teams that finished bottom in the League A group. So Poland or one of the other 3 teams. So long story short, if Ireland failed to win tonight, they'd need to win 2 two-legged ties to qualify for Brazil with the deck loaded in their favour because they'd have home advantage in the second leg of both of those ties. All clear? Do you all know where we're at? We all know the stakes?
Yeah.
Just win tonight. Actually, sorry, what I just said there doesn't matter. Just win tonight and we don't have to worry about any of that.
It would be even after the reverse fixture of these 2 games, where it was kind of, as you're saying, like those sort of valiant defeats, the notion then of kind of a turnaround and the idea of, it's very hard to actually, I know you're putting the historical context of it having never been done by men's or women's team, but the actual notion of reeling off potentially 4 successive wins to qualify for the World Cup automatically would be a seismic achievement. Like, especially in the nature, not to get carried away, I'm taking all my energy off Emma, who's very much of the free shot vibe going into this. But just the notion that it's even plausible, that it's not even just fanciful, it's like, yeah, it could happen. It's incredible. It's incredible what this team keeps delivering.
Yeah, it really is.
Really and truly.
Let's do a few minutes on the day's other stories because we're going to be focused on this all night. You're going to kick things off tonight, Eve, with what's going on in Waterford Hurling.
Yeah, so Peter Creeley won't be continuing as Waterford Hurling manager, and he says he's extremely disappointed to have not had the backing of their county board for a third year at the helm. Waterford won Division 1B of the league in his first season in charge, but they were relegated back to the second flight this year, while they failed to progress from the Munster round robin in both campaigns. Creeley says he's been privileged to manage his county, and he's praised the players for their dedication and commitment during his time in charge.
And what do you make of this?
What do I make of it? They're not a million miles away, right? Like, comparably, it's a weird thing when you actually look back over the last 4 or 5 years, like with the obvious exception of last year's All-Ireland final. Like, Waterford and Tipperary's records aren't that crazily different. So you could probably argue Waterford are not a million miles away in terms of certainly getting out of Munster, if you set that as benchmark. And It'll depend. It depends, like, if they have a contingency and plan, if they have someone lined up that they're thinking of, if there's someone, like, that guy could be the difference instead. Fine, got to be brave. Like, he's done well, but, like, at the same time, he's probably not achieved what he set out to achieve himself or where he thought he'd be after 2 years. So it's kind of like, without being cruel about it, like, they're still where they were. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, do you make the change now? Do you wait another year? You kind of, yeah, I can see the logic from both sides. I can see why he'd be upset at the same time. But it's not been, I don't know if they've been like, you know, they drew a game, lost three.
Came close. Did they maximise their resources? Did they maximise their performances? He could probably argue that in fairness, and they're just in a very tough group.
Possibly, but you also have one of the greatest club hurling teams of all time in the county now. I can see why Waterford might be thinking bigger.
We've been hearing from the Cork camp then.
We have. So Cork defender Mark Coleman admits they didn't ask referee James Owens if there was time left to work their late free short in Sunday's Munster hurling final. He received the ball from goalkeeper Patrick Collins deep in injury time, but the final whistle was blown when he passed the sitter on to Tim O'Mahony for a shot as Limerick held on for a 1-point win. Coleman says they weren't aware that the free needed to be struck directly at goal.
We were under the impression, I suppose, that we had maybe one play left or something like that, and that we'd get the opportunity to work a score. But Joe James, the ref obviously had to get up and be where the ball was landing, so it's fair enough that he didn't tell us or that we weren't able to ask him, or so we were probably just weren't aware of the situation. But I don't think, like, it was so far back that if the ball was going to be landing in the square no matter what, it was going to be blown up. So I think it's a bit of a nutting blind, really.
Now then, turning to the football this weekend, one of the big fixtures is Derry versus Meath, and a significant blow for the Royals ahead of this game.
Yeah, Rory Kinsella has suffered an ACL injury and will be out for the rest of this year. It's understood that the 2025 All-Star nominee suffered his injury in training over the weekend. And as you said, Meath are set to play Derry in round 2B of the Senior Football Championship this Saturday.
Now then, a familiar face returning to Irish rugby.
Yep, Jared Payne is returning. He has signed a 2-year deal to become assistant coach at Munster. He has spent the last 3 years on the Scarlets coaching team in Wales. And then assistant coach Mossy Lawler has also signed an extension to his contract that will keep him at Munster until 2028.
And confirmation on the news that we were all expecting.
Yeah, so Leinster's all-time try scorer James Lowe has confirmed that he's leaving the province after 9 years. It was reported in the 42 last night that he had already signed a deal to join Tokyo Suntory Sunglass, which is in Japan. This will end Lowe's Ireland career a year out from the World Cup. And in a statement posted to his Instagram today, Lowe thanked Ireland for embracing a kid from a small town in New Zealand and making him feel at home.
We have some cricket news as well.
Yep, so the Ireland women's cricketers had defeated Bangladesh in their final T20 World Cup warm-up match. They overcame their opponents by 11 runs at Loughborough, and then their World Cup campaign kicks off on June 13th.
Okay, on to the underage team, and the under-21s are in action.
Yeah, so they were in action today. They drew 0-0 with Qatar under-23s in this what is the second of two international friendlies this month in Zagreb. Jim Crawford's players had drawn 2-2 against Croatia under-21s last weekend, and they're using these fixtures as preparation for the under-21 Euro qualifiers, which begin later this year.
Just to go through a couple of other football bits then, we have a new Crystal Palace manager.
Yes, so Crystal Palace agreed a deal in principle for Pierre Sage to become their new head coach. He's currently at Lens in France, but is expected to sign a deal until 2029. Palace need a new manager, of course, after Oliver Glasner left at the end of last season, having won an FA Cup and Conference League during his time at Selhurst Park.
Just before we wrap up, another breaking story in the world of club football today is that Real Madrid have tabled a 150 million euro bid for Julian Alvarez from Atletico Madrid. It has been rejected. And Real Madrid have released a statement. They said, and this is through translation, Real Madrid Club de Football announces that following the meeting of the board of directors held today, it has made an offer of 150 million euros to Club Atletico de Madrid for the federative rights of the player Julian Alvarez. After reviewing and evaluating the offer, Club Atletico de Madrid has expressed its gratitude for the proposal made within the framework of the good relations between both clubs and has rejected it, referring to the player's release clause. What is Julian Alvarez's release clause? I do wonder. But 150 million quid for Julian Alvarez, is that about right? Is that actually over the odds? It's a 500 million euro release clause. No way.
Well, they're all, well, they always do that in Spain, though, don't
okay,
they?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it's inflated, and especially after the Neymar one, where it's like Calder Bluff. We will play it.
It says they refer to the player's release clause. I'm not sure yeah, it's the man yeah, in the release
yeah.
clause.
Well, they probably, yeah, but like they're always so inflated. He might be worth 150 million, I don't know. But what I do know is that I don't really think they need him. It's such a weird power play. It's just a pure, like, just kind of a flex, I guess. We'll go and sign our, I suppose, closest rival's biggest player. But, like, Jesus.
Transfer Mark to have him down as 100 million euro.
Dog it. Yeah, well, they'd know.
His contract is until 2030. So, to be fair, there's a fair deal of time left on that. He's 26 years of age. In this day and age, you can probably squeeze a bit more out of Real Madrid than 150 million. So I can kind of see where Atletico are coming from as outrageous as these figures are.
They have entered a seller's market there.
Yeah, big time.
150 million and €1.
Yeah. Do the arsenal on it. Finally, give us some tennis news.
Yeah, so Serena Williams is back playing competitive tennis at the Queen's Club Championship in London today. The 23-time Grand Slam singles champion is playing doubles alongside Canada's Victoria Mboko, who is currently ranked 9th in the world. And they won the first set 7-6, and they are 5-2 up in the second.
Okay, we're going to be at the Parc des Alpes from 8 p.m. Live commentary coming your way. It's going to be Stephen Doyle and Kira Grant on duty for that one. We're also going to be hearing from Joanna Byrne, TD of Sinn Féin, after the break. She's going to be talking to us about the Stop the Game campaign. She was in the studio a little bit earlier on, in fact, that motion's about to go to the floor of the Dáil in the next couple of minutes. We'll get some background on that. We'll also be talking about her departure from Drogheda United earlier this year. The News Round has been brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage, 150 ml tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation. Time for the cash machine.